We open our Vent Stay segment here on the Jefferson Exchange. Every Wednesday, we give you a chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. This week, making college affordable and regulating e-cigarettes. 800-838-3760, our main phone number around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. The discussion about college comes from our previous visit with Southern Oregon University President Mary Cullinan. SOU and other state schools across the region have been cutting programs and raising tuition for years to make up for less financial support from the states. Over the 20 years from 1990 to 2010, public college tuition across the country roughly doubled, and that accounts for changes in the value of the dollar. Do we have a societal responsibility to keep college, especially public college, affordable? If so, how do we go about doing that? Higher taxes? Cheaper professors? What? Item two on this Vent Stay is e-cigarettes, the battery-powered cigarette lookalikes that heat up nicotine-based liquids into vapor. You inhale that, not smoke. So technically you're not smoking, you're vaping, but they're not regulated that much as you would think they would be as nicotine products by the states. The Oregon legislature is going to hold some hearings today on two bills. One would ban the sales of e-cigarettes to minors. They're technically legal now. The other bill would ban e-cigarettes everywhere cigarettes are banned. What do you think? Treat like any other smoking device? If you smoke a vape, would you tell us what e-cigs are like and how they're different from regular cigarettes? 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782. It is Vent Stay on the Jefferson Exchange. Back with your calls in 1 minute. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley with a cold, and thank you for listening. If you'd like to find out more about the program than you get from the radio, find us online. Our web address is jeffexchange.org. You'll find program topics and recordings and a look ahead to future editions of the Jefferson Exchange. We also have a Facebook presence. If you like us in the Facebook sense of clicking the like button, our information ends up on your news feed on a daily basis. And you can also find us on Twitter at Jeff Exchange. So several places to find us online, jeffexchange.org, on Facebook and on Twitter. And you can call into the program to join our conversations, particularly in this segment, our Vent Stay segment, which gives you a chance to vent politely on topics in the news. Our topics this week, making college affordable and perhaps better as well, and e-cigarettes and how those should be regulated. Our phone numbers, anywhere you can hear us, 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. The e-cigarette story is a really interesting one because they are often sold as a way for smokers to quit or at least cut down. And electronic cigarettes do not contain tobacco. There is no tar to be inhaled with their vapors. They do contain nicotine. And they came on the market so fast, they really got ahead of the regulators. Attorneys general from 40 states recently asked the Federal Food and Drug Administration to regulate e-cigarettes as a tobacco product. I mentioned already the Oregon legislature will hold hearings on a pair of bills today. One would ban the sales of e-cigarettes to minors. Now, I know I did check with somebody at a local convenience store and said, oh, we don't sell those to minors. But the fact is, there's no actual prescription under law that stops a store from selling an e-cigarette to minors under Oregon law. So that would be handled by one of the bills that would get a hearing today in the Oregon legislature. The other bill would ban e-cigarettes everywhere that other regular cigarettes are banned. So the questions, again, on these topic areas is, what's your general thought about e-cigarettes? I mean, is it a logical way to move from the actual out-in-the-air smoking kind of cigarette into something a little less offensive? Do you get offended? Have you been around them? Have you smelled them? Do they bother you? Or do you actually smoke them? I guess the actual term is vaping. You're not smoking, you're vaping. So give us some insight into what you're doing when you're vaping and how that appeals to you. Or talk about our other discussion topic, which is how we make higher education affordable. We have just watched, particularly in Oregon and California. In California, since Prop 13 passed and reduced property taxes, and in Oregon, since Measure 5 passed and reduced property taxes, as the state had to devote more and more money into schools, there was less and less money available for higher education, and we have watched that just go down and down and down. We had Mary Cullinan in here, the president of Southern Oregon University, in our first segment. At one time, the state universities in Oregon got about 70% of their funding directly from the state legislature. It slid below 15% in recent years. So from 70% state support to 15% state support, guess who makes it up? Yes, the students with their tuition payments, which is why tuition has roughly doubled at public colleges all across the country. And again, that accounts for changes in the value of the dollar. Your thoughts on these topics, e-cigarettes and how we make college affordable on Vents Day, 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Dennis in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
How do I always get in here first?
I don't know. I think on rainy days, people are hibernating a little more. That's what's going on.
Say, I want to comment on affordable college.
Please.
The first and obvious way to make college more affordable is to put more of it online. And more universities and community colleges are doing that. So I think in the future, most college courses, especially undergraduate courses and courses that are not very specialized, you'll just do online. And the next way to make college more affordable is a lot of things that, we're in a paradigm shift here in America and in the world. We're going into a whole new world here about how we're going to do everything. And so I think that what will happen is a lot of corporations will either partner with universities or they'll start their own, and they'll train their own people exactly the way they want them to be trained or have them trained exactly the way they want them to be trained so that when they come to the corporation that they're going to be working in, they'll be of value. And I'll give you an instance, a little bit of an example. My son is a software engineer for Boeing, and they haven't hired any new people in his group for 15 years. He was the last new person hired.
Uh-huh.
And they're not going to hire any new people.
Why not? Where are they going to get the work done?
Well, because they are able to do the work. Software has advanced so much, and the way that they do things has advanced so much that they can do it with so many fewer people that there's just really no need. And he's the lead person in his group, and he's even worried because he knows that if he doesn't stay on top of the type of software that he produces and know what the next newest thing is coming and all that, that he'll be eliminated too. And so what I'm saying here is that small universities and colleges like you guys have down there are doomed, I think. They'd probably be best for them to partner, if there's some big industry down there, partner up with an industry, maybe become more of a specialized school. Let's face it, my wife has a master's degree from the University of Oregon in art history. And when she graduated, there wasn't that many at the University of Oregon. There wasn't that many people that graduated in her class in art history. So,
and now SIU is talking about doing away with its art history major.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you might be onto something here about partnering with industries, but also with the other schools, because there is some suspicion that has been expressed as well by some of the presidents of the small schools that what the ultimate goal here is to get mergers going on. So you get, for example, instead of Southern Oregon University, the University of Oregon at Ashland, that sort of setup, which has been recommended by other people as well.
So, yeah. Well, Portland State is University of Oregon.
What?
Portland State is part of the University of Oregon.
But it's a different governing board, different president, all that sort of thing.
I believe it's part of the University of Oregon, though.
Yeah, I don't think so. But thanks for that call, Dennis. Appreciate it. Let's go on to Ron and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about making college affordable, and we're talking about e-cigarettes as well.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to talk more about the public education affordable, particularly college education affordable. It seems to me that this is another one of those critical spearheaded issues that's the underlying one of the underlying discussions in our country about, you know, what should government do and who should pay for it. And there are some extremely powerful folks who do not want to see education provided by the public. You know, they want it to be something that you achieve through some sort, you know, your merit, you know, your hard work and so on. And they don't think that their, you know, tax dollars should be supporting somebody else's kid to go to college because they can afford to send their kids. And this really gets to the crux of, you know, the problem that we have right now, you know, and the underlying debate going on in this country about, you know, are we individuals who are fighting, you know, each other, you know, to get to the next level of wealth? Or are we, you know, a country of a group of people trying to figure out how we promote, you know, ourselves as a group? And I think when we look at, you know, advanced education and look at history, it's clear that there are a lot of innovators. There are a lot of things that make us better today and provide a lot of jobs and bolstered our country that came from people who weren't, you know, didn't go through college, you know, from because of their wealth. You know, they were put there because, I mean, they went through college because of, you know, the opportunity to go through the public education system. And so I think that, you know, at our own peril, we move away from this concept of education should be provided by the public for all those that can qualify regardless of their income or their means. Because it's going to benefit us as a group or as a whole, as opposed to the concept that seems to be prevailing now, particularly on one side of the political argument that the government shouldn't do anything other than provide for the common defense and rule of law, and everything else should be earned by merit and by how well you or your parents or your grandparents were able to manage the system.
So scrimp and save and pay for your own college, and if you can't get there, well, tough.
That's exactly what the game plan is, not just for college. I mean, and not just, it's just the same thing for all public education. And it's not just that, I mean, it's not just public education. It's virtually anything and everything that the government does with the exception of protecting private property, you know, and protecting, you know, through national defense, which is protecting the assets of the people that, you know, currently have them. You know, other than that, you know, government shouldn't do anything else. It just get out of the way and let the, competitive arm of our economy, you know, drive who succeeds and who doesn't.
So you're really casting this as, I mean, you haven't used these terms, but this is really a 1% versus 99% kind of argument, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly one that the Occupy movement raised, saying, you know, does this make sense? But see, it doesn't get framed as a discussion about should we be collaboratively working together as a group. You know, as a society, you know, should our socioeconomic system, you know, function for the benefit of the society as opposed to the benefit of the individuals who can, through either wealth or through luck or in through ingenuity, you know, are able to acquire more and more and more as a sign of their success.
All right.
You know, are we living in a, you know, I can't even use the analogy of a football game, you know, where, you know, the winner of the game, you know, takes the trophy, because even the football owners have understood how the system works, and if they don't create a level playing field, you know, every year through the draft, people are going to quit, watching the game. Well, you know, in our country, at some point in time, we're going to have to come to terms with the idea that if there are too many people that don't think this socioeconomic system is working very well for them, they're going to quit the system.
It's about sharing things. All right, thanks for that, Ron. Appreciate it. A lot of provocative thoughts there. Join us on this Vents Day. We're talking about making college affordable and better, primarily at public universities and colleges, but it could be about private colleges as well, because they are even less affordable than the public ones. So public higher education on one hand and e-cigarettes and how they should be regulated on the other are topics on this Vents Day. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Let me come back to something that Ron riffed on, because he was talking about even the NFL owners know that you have to level the playing field, which they have. There is the way that they share revenue in the NFL is really much more of a socialist kind of system, so that no team, no matter how small the town in which that team plays, ends up at an economic disadvantage to a bigger team, which is why you can have the Green Bay Packers win the Super Bowl every so often because of the fact that they do share the revenue. So the Green Bay Packers can afford to pay players as much as the New York Giants can. Something to think about as we go forward in this discussion. Again, our topics more specifically, making college affordable and e-cigarettes and how those should be regulated. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Scott in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi, and talking of the NFL that you just mentioned, you know, as long as colleges are so obsessed with fun and games, the way that they have for so long, I mean, I think it's a huge waste of money. And I'm not a sports fan, and I'll admit it, but I think that they need to really seriously consider just getting rid of sports because in the end, really, it's all about just fun and games. It's not about really making a lot of money and supporting anything. And they throw vast amounts of money at, you know, coaching staff and resources and transporting teams across the state, and you know, schools like SOU just can't afford it, and most of them can't afford it, and maybe they should look at the model of University of Chicago that eliminated football, at least for a while. I guess they have it back again, although it's much smaller than it used to be, and so I think colleges in general are throwing a lot of money at things that really don't have much to do with actually educating people. And I think that sports is one of those big areas. My other comment was about online education, and I think if, as the first caller was suggesting, but the problem is, as I have read about it, that it's not very successful, and that when you have people enrolling in online courses, there are very large rates of dropping out and failing. And as someone that has taught in several colleges, when you're dealing with especially 18-year-olds, kids that are going off to college for the first time, they need to have FaceTime. They need to be held accountable for what they're doing. They need to get up at 8 in the morning and get out of their jammies and slippers. And when you start to have people responsible for their own education, in large online courses, I think you're going to start to have many more failures, and people actually won't get educated.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for that, Scott. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about how to make a higher education affordable, and we're talking about e-cigarette regulations.
Well, a way to make college more affordable, in my opinion, would be to tax the corporations that got all the savings on Measure 5 and Proposition 13. Individual homeowners certainly didn't. In Portland, when the Measure 5 passed, they doubled the assessed value of all the homes and raised everybody's property taxes accordingly. Then when one of the big condo projects sold downtown for $15 million, people said, well, now you have to raise the property taxes of all the business buildings around that. They said, oh, no, they overpaid.
Huh. Yeah, well, that's why we ended up with Measure 47 and 50 later on in Oregon, which by Measure 5 dealt with property tax rates, 47 and 50 dealt with the assessed value.
Which, well, I haven't been in Oregon recently to know that, but at any rate, I had a friend that went to Oregon State for, I think, 13 years as an undergraduate when it cost $100 a quarter to go there for in-state students. Finally, one day, he went to sign up for winter quarter. They informed him he'd been graduated. He said, you can't do this to me. They said, oh, yes, you have a master's degree in general studies. Thank you and good day.
Wow. All right. Thanks for that, Mark. Appreciate it. Let's go to Vince in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Why won't that button push? There we go. Vince in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about higher education, making it affordable, and regulating e-cigarettes.
Well, maybe I have a solution to both. I was a college counselor in California for almost 30 years, and one of the big problems I saw counseling my students was their goals for what they were going to do with college and their financial aid. I saw way too many students who were just trying to maintain a 2.5 grade point average so they could get what they call their free money, $3,000 to $5,000 a semester, even though their family may have earned, you know, $50,000. And students who were struggling to keep that 4.0 and do well in their studies, and their parents maybe only had $20,000 a year, and I thought there was a lot of inequality there. And also, I don't understand why Oregon won't institute some sin taxes, talking about cigarette, e-cigarettes, alcohol sin taxes, and put it all specifically towards education from K through 14.
I think part of the issue that people raise with the sin taxes is that often if you start taxing things that are considered luxuries or sins or whatever you want to call them, things like liquor and cigarettes, that A, they're a small portion of the public. B, you can actually force the people to stop buying those things, and therefore the tax revenue ends up not nearly as good as you thought it was going to be.
Well, I don't think that's been scientifically proven anywhere. You go into any store that sells alcohol, it's always busy. I go into stores like pharmacies, and there are people waiting online to buy packs of cigarettes. So I give a lot of credit to CVS stopping selling cigarettes. It's ridiculous. The amount of people's efforts and money that goes into overuse of cigarettes, tobacco products, getting drunk every weekend. I just think there's a better way to control it, and one of those ways is to wake up the public and say, you know, if you're going to use these vices and affect the health industry in our state, you're going to have to pay top dollar. But we're not going to waste it, you know, on something that you don't like. Everybody has to have an education. Everybody wants to see the children in the community educated. And it's going to go towards education. And I think you'll see the budgets go up at colleges and K through 12 systems. And you'll see a reduction in tobacco smoking.
All right. Thanks for that, Vince. Appreciate it. Greg in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. It's Vince Day.
Good morning. I wonder if the college president is going to be continue to support the governor. The governor has decided that we should spend a couple of billion dollars on a bridge to nowhere that we don't need. It turns out the engineer who discusses safety of bridges said that the bridge would be fine for decades. We're still, Kitts Harbor still wants to spend a couple of billion on that. He's already squandered hundreds of millions of dollars on planning and engineering.
I know, and they haven't turned any dirt. This is the I-5 bridge across the
Columbia.
They
haven't turned any dirt. But when it's time to reelect him, I'm sure he'll be reelected. I'm sure she'll have the yard sign in there for him. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to support these people who are wasting billions so they can kick it back to their engineering buddies and builders. And there's no criticism. So in response to the other fellow who was such a big government cheerleader, that's one of the reasons why we get a little critical of governments who just squander billions. Maybe it is time to criticize, look into them a little bit.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you're making the point, though, that the bridge will survive. I mean, it has been refurbished over the years. I was reading something in yesterday's Oregonian about the fact that it is functionally obsolete. You wouldn't build a bridge like the Interstate Bridge now. But it certainly can hold up with repairs for quite a few more years, yes.
No, I mean, but to reiterate my point, you have people wondering where they're going to get funded, where they're going to lose their college, and yet there's the money peed away right up there. I mean, it happens every day, you know, they squander all of this money because of this crony capitalism, these crooked entities that get these people elected, and then what we think of as basic and necessary entities are going out of business. I mean, it makes no sense. It's time to tell things like they are. Just because he's a Democrat doesn't mean that he's not a corrupt person.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure a lot will be said about the Columbia River crossing in the governor's race this year, which is happening. We have governor's races in both states. It is an even-numbered year, so big elections coming up. Governor of Oregon, John Kitzhaber, up for re-election, running for it. Jerry Brown in California, if he chooses to run again, will be up for re-election this year. So much to talk about as we go through this year on the Jefferson Exchange. Many more Vince Days yet to come in 2014. Thanks for taking part. Thanks for listening. This is the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Hour 2 with the Beatles coming up.
Thank you.